Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Really good to see you all today. Good morning to everybody on Facebook or YouTube, whatever you're using today to stream. Let me just thank God for the weather today. Thank you, Lord. A few weeks ago, I was in Texas, and I mean, it was like over 100. It was scorching. This is ideal for me. So just thank you, Lord Jesus. Today we're looking in Luke 12. We are going to go over some of what Julie went on, which I thought that was a great demonstration with the bubbles. And we're going to look at a few other things. But the man in that verse that she mentioned, we saw his focus. He was very focused on his material things. And as Christians, something that I find myself asking myself every day is, where is my focus? And that's kind of the question I want you all to think of this morning. Right now, we're living in a world, there's so many things going on. We got, of course, the coronavirus situation. Everybody's up in arms about. Some people aren't, but, you know, most of the world is. There's that. There's the riots. There's the protests going on. There's people, you know, there's other things on people's minds. Is my job going to be safe? What's going to come of the upcoming elections at the end of the year? There's so many things that are grabbing our attention that a lot of times we can actually start to focus and prioritize on these things over our main priority, which is the Lord. We can start to give those much more attention than who we should be giving our attention to, which is the Lord. So, I mean, we see that in Matthew 22, verse 37, we show the command from Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. But oftentimes we fall short of that happening. Now, Luke 12, it's an amazing piece of scripture. It's a little bit lengthy, it's about 59 verses. So we're not going to be hitting every single thing in there. You can make tons of different sermons and talking points about it, but what I want to hit on is a lot of the different things that we can learn from and see in here that the Lord warns us about in terms of diverting our attention to those things over Him. And the first one I wanted to focus on was our focus can a lot of times be clouded by the fear of physical harm. You know, these days, you know, in terms of health and whatnot, we have more technology, science, medicine than we ever have. We have $1 million machines. They can scan you up and down. They can diagnose you, take blood samples, all that. And even still, with all this technology, we're still riddled with disease. Of course, we mentioned the coronavirus things going around here. But not just that. I mean, cancer. Cancer is a huge one, too. Our church in general. We've experienced it firsthand. Greg, you know, there's a few. And the list goes on and on. Not just cancer, but we have people suffering right now and their family suffering right now. And it's a very real thing. But what we have to remember is, like those bubbles that Julie blew earlier, this body that we're in today, this flesh suit that we're on, we're not taking it with us. This isn't everything. Our physical bodies, they're going to deteriorate. We know this. We came from ash. We're going to go back to ash. And sometimes we can focus so much on our physical bodies that we're focusing on that more than the Lord. We can see in Luke 12, verses 4 through 7, he says, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more than that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are more value than many sparrows. So in this verse, he's not necessarily talking about a virus or health conditions. He's talking to the disciples. Jesus is talking to the disciples and basically warning them, hey, you can get some physical harm for following me. That's a very real thing that can happen as Christians. But I think we can look at that also in the broad form of just in terms of your physical body. It's something ultimately, in the end, it's not something that we should be super focused on. And that's a very real thing that can happen to us even today. In America, you don't really see there is persecution, but it's not quite like, you know, if you look at other countries, third world countries, there's Christians out there, there's missionaries who've gone out, they've died for their faith. They've had their heads, they've been decapitated. I mean, there's been some really gruesome things people do to these people. And that's something, it can still happen to us even in America, you know. But we have to remember, this is so temporary. These bodies are not going with us. So we have to remember, don't get so focused on this, because your physical body, it's not going with you. So that's the first point I want to hit on, is a lot of times our focus on the Lord can be clouded by our physical harm. And the next thing I want to hit on was our focus can also be clouded by material things, much like Julie was talking about earlier. We're not taking our bodies with us. We're not going to take our material things either. Like she said, the man in this verse, I'll read it real quick. It was Luke 12, verses 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd next to him said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my Lord, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself is not rich toward God." You know, right now, I'm sure probably everybody in here has used Amazon. I know, Jeff, you're going to be working with them. But we live in a world where material things, it's everything to a lot of people. I can hop on my phone. I don't have it actually right here, but I can hop on my phone right now, pretty much look up anything I want. Boom, it's going to be at my door 1 to 2 days, you know, free shipping. I can go out to the store. You can pretty much get whatever you want. We're in a society where it's, I want what I want, when I want it, how I want it. It's clouding our focus on God. You see social media. You hop on Facebook. You hop on, you know, Twitter, whatever you do. You're tweeting and all that. It's filled with a never-ending contest of keeping up with the Joneses. Hey, look at my car, look at my pool I just did, look at this vacation I did, look at, you know, we could talk all day about it, but we're putting a lot of our faith and a lot of our worth in those things when our worth is ultimately in the Lord. I'll tell you a story. A lot of you probably know I'm a car aficionado. I love cars. I've always liked them since I was growing up. Well, when I was in the Army, does anybody know what a Subaru STI is? You do? Yeah? It's a cool car, you know, one of the fast rally cars. They're sports cars, they're quick. And so I found one for sale and I really wanted it, and it was like an hour and a half away. And I wanted it so bad. I said, oh, it's a great price, I gotta have it. I went and looked at it and I'm like, oh, this is so cool. I drove an hour and a half there, I drove an hour and a half back, got all this stuff set up, and I became obsessed with getting this car. That's all I thought about. I said, I gotta have it. And I just felt this weird feeling in my stomach, like something was a little off. You get those gut feelings sometimes. But I said, I want this car, this thing's so cool. So I kind of suppressed it, and I drove an hour and a half there, drove back, that's like 3 hours. I drove there again. I lost sleep because my sleep schedule, I had to wake up like extra early to try to get there the second time to buy it before work started. And I got there, and that gut feeling came back, and it was even worse than the first time. And I actually left. I left. I said, I made some excuse up. Oh, my sergeant called me, I gotta go. So I left, and you know what I did? I went back the next day. I suppressed it again. I said, no, this is too good of a deal. This is too great of a car. I got to have it. And I went out the next day, and I actually bought it. And I was obsessed with it. I wanted it so bad. And my focus wasn't on God. It wasn't on the Lord. It wasn't my relationship with Him, how I could love or witness to others. It was on this piece of metal with wheels. And 2 weeks after I got the thing, the engine went out. And God, He taught me a big lesson right there. I lost a lot of money and everything like that, but I'm glad it happened because, you know, for you it might not be a car, it might not be a Subaru STI, but it can be a variety of things. It could be your bank account. It could be how many zeros do I have in my bank account right now. It could be a vehicle. It could be, you know, oh, my house, is my house big enough? We get so fixated on these things that we put them above our focus on the Lord. I mean, if you guys know Egyptians, the pharaohs and all that, you look at when they're buried, they get buried with all their jewelry, they have all these things, this giant sarcophagus. It doesn't matter. You're not taking it with you. If you went up to that Egyptian in his tomb and you said, hey, how's all this stuff treating you? You know what he's going to say? He's just going to kind of lay there because he's dead. He can't, it's not doing him any good. This stuff is so temporary. Don't get caught up. Don't be, you know, Jones for this STI and then just learn that it's not worth it. It is not worth it. Jesus is worth it. That's not. So that's the second point I wanted to hit on. So, you know, material things, that can cloud our focus on the Lord. Our physical bodies, our health, that's another thing. Another thing that can cloud our focus on the Lord is anxiety. A lot of people right now, I know I keep mentioning it, but some people, they have a lot of anxiety with this whole virus situation. Some people, like, I'll be honest, myself, I'm a bit younger, I'm in pretty decent health. I'm not personally, for myself, as worried about it as someone as, say, a family member of mine who their immune system's not as great because they've had cancer, they've gone through the chemo. So it does affects everybody, you know, differently. But it's not just with that, you know. Even if you're not worried about the virus, you could be worried about what's my job going to be looking like, you know. So many people lost their jobs. Am I going to have enough, you know, income? Is my family going to be okay? You know, am I going to get this disease? There's so many things, but we have to remember anxiety, it doesn't help anything. We see in Luke chapter 12, verses 24 through 26, Jesus discusses the ravens. Now, ravens, when you look at them, they don't have a house. They don't have a bank account. They don't have a job they go to. But the Lord provides them with food. They're still going out. They're being supplied with their needs. We are so much more important to the Lord than ravens. He didn't make ravens in His image. He made us people, man, in His image. So, you know, when you look at it, it says, "And which of you can be anxious, can add a single hour to his life's span of life?" We show right there, it's not going to help. If I get all worried up about, let's say I do get this virus, I'm worried about getting it, I'm going to die from it, Guess what? If that happens, what did the anxiety, what did all that stressing do? The outcome's the same. It's not going to help, and it's also contagious. When you get anxious, people around you get anxious. You know, if you had somebody on a plane getting all, they're looking around, they're starting freaking out and stuff, you're probably going to get a little bit uncomfortable. Like, what is this guy, what is going on here? It's so contagious. Look, if you truly believe in Christ and what He did for you, what is there to be anxious about? If you believe Jesus died for your sins and that this is such a blur on your map compared to all eternity, you know, anxiety. Now, I'm not saying it's not a real thing. Like, I deal with it too. I'm sure all of you, there's some kind of anxiety that shows up. We're still in the flesh. We're not perfect. But that's why we have to come to these verses and remember that. The Lord is here for us, and we have to cast our anxiety on Him. Give it to the Lord. Don't hold on to it. And then the next thing I wanted to kind of touch on was our focus is also clouded by self-doubt. If you look at verse 28, it shows, "But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, as Stacy, the Lord takes care of the grass, you know, and the animals. And we have to remember, like I just said, how much more are we worth to God than grass? A lot. But sometimes we don't feel that way. Or we might feel like our shortcomings and our failures, they keep us from God loving us. But that's exactly what Satan wants you to think. Satan wants you to dwell on, you know, what you did wrong. He wants you to just focus on that than the gift Jesus gave you that lets you forget about that. Now, I'm not saying, oh, just, you know, brush the sin off, it's whatever. No, you still have to repent. You have to acknowledge your sin. But I'm saying, if you're focusing on that so much to where you're allowing it to take you away from your relationship with Jesus and with God, that's exactly what Satan wants. Don't let him do that. We know none of us are perfect. If you look at Romans chapter 3, verses 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It says everybody. It doesn't say some, but you know, some of us did. It doesn't say, oh, everybody but this elite few did. Literally everybody. Look at Paul. Look at the Apostle Paul. He sinned. He messed up. He made mistakes. God still used him. He did so many marvelous things with him. God can use us too. Even though we're not perfect, even though we mess up, don't let that take you away from your relationship with God. It should, if anything, it should draw you closer to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for, even though I did this, I know I'm safe through you. We can get so caught up on those failures. And I'm sure a lot of you have probably thought, you know, you have a friend or a coworker who maybe isn't a believer, and they might, you know, you talk to them about Christ, they say, ah, I've done too many things. I have sinned too much. The things I've done, I can't be forgiven for. Well, when you start acting like that, when you start saying, oh, my failures and shortcomings, God doesn't want to talk to me and stuff, you don't sound any better than that non-believer. That is a horrible way to talk. It's horrible. You're negating the gift that Jesus gave you. You have to remember, everything we do as Christians, you're a witness to people, whether you realize it or not. If you're a real Christian, you're out there and you are talking about your faith and your love, people are going to take note. And why would anybody, if people are looking at you and they see you all worried and you're acting like, oh, that was just the worst thing ever, God can't forgive me, what hope are they going to have? Oh, this Christian, he can't even, if he goes to church every Sunday and he's not good enough for God, what am I? You have to remember how we look to people, how our witnessing is to people when we go out there. So, you know, don't let your self-doubt cloud your focus on God. And that kind of comes to, you know, the main point of what kind of, you know, clouds our focus on the Lord, and that's sin in general. You know, we see physical things, physical body, like ailments, our bodies, our health. That's something we focus on way too much over the Lord. Material possessions, anxiety, self-doubt, it's all sin. It's all things that we're putting on a pedestal above God. We're focusing on that instead of focusing on the Lord, what we should be doing. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, so how do I keep my focus on the Lord? Well, this is part of it right here. You all came to church this morning, or you're viewing, you know, digitally. You know, we have to come together as a community, as Christians. You have to repent. So we have to be in the Word. We have to constantly look to the Lord and His Word for guidance. And just remember that Jesus is ultimately the only thing we need in the end. If you're not reading your Bible, if you're not, you know, in fellowship with other believers, acknowledging your sins, bringing it up, you can get in a horrible, horrible hole you just keep digging yourself into. And the more you do it, the more you're struggling with that sin and you're fighting it, you're not giving it to God, you try to handle it yourself, the worse, the deeper that hole's gonna get. We have to continually ask ourselves, where is my focus at? You know, when you think about it, if somebody came up to you and gave you like $1 million, are you just gonna be like, thanks, man? Just walk away and never say anything else? Jesus, his sacrifice for us is worth so much more than money. It's worth so much more than a brand new house somebody can give you, are you going to turn your, you wouldn't turn your back on someone that gave you those things. Why would we turn our back and not give God, you know, the love and acknowledgement that he deserves? Now, and I'm not saying that we're going to do it perfectly. We showed all fall short. It's not an easy life. Being a Christian is an easy life. We can suffer physical harm. Look at Jesus. Jesus's life, he was harmed physically. He was berated, you know. He's loved by us, but you know what? He's either the most loved person or he's the most hated person. It's one or the other. And we really can't go around this world thinking that we deserve to be treated any better than Jesus did, because we don't. So we really, you know, every morning, you know, ask ourselves, where is your focus at? Are we focused on Jesus? Is he in the forefront of our mind? Or am I, you know, trying to buy a Subaru STI or whatever like that? And I'm not trying to say having things like, you know, if you post a picture of your house or something like that, that's, oh, you're horrible. No, I'm not saying we have to go around and wear rags everywhere and like plastic bags on our, you know, for shoes and everything like that. But when it starts to become your life, that's your focus, that's all you're worried about, and you're prioritizing that over the Lord, he's going to make your engine go out. You're going to be on the side of the road feeling really stupid. And I don't think anybody wants that. And if I just want to say, if you don't know the love that God has for you and the sacrifice his son Jesus did, I want to invite you to accept that. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He did it for everyone. And if you haven't, looked into it, if you haven't accepted that, that Jesus is your Savior, that he's here for you, I want to invite you today. Talk to someone about it. Don't wait. You can talk to me. Pastor Darren would be happy to talk to you. The elders, Jeff, Tom. Find a Christian in your life. You know, if you're not comfortable with them, talk with the Christian in your life you are comfortable with. Don't go through life just looking at all these material things or getting so focused on everything else, because like Julie showed with those bubbles, it's going to be gone like that before you know it. You know, it shows in it was 1 Corinthians, life is like a vapor. You think of a vapor, you can think of a bubble. It was gone like that. That's how long our lives are going to last here. So as Christians, just continually ask yourself, where's my focus on? Ask yourself every day, where is my focus on today? That's what I had here. So my sermons don't usually last very long. This one didn't either. But I'd like to invite the praise team up for our last song. And if you'd stand with me, I'd like to close in prayer here before our song. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. We understand that we mess up and we can put our focus and our faith in things that aren't you a lot of times. And we know this, we acknowledge that, and we repent, Lord, and we thank you that you are so forgiving and loving of us, that despite these things, you're still there for us. You still provide. And we want to thank you for this morning, for letting us come out. And I pray for anybody that is having anxiety over the current events in the country, over the coronavirus, over their health, their finances, whatever it may be, Lord, that they can just lean on you and just have that feeling of comfort deep down, that they know in the end they are safe through your son, Jesus Christ. And that we can be there to help support each other and remind each other of that. Thank you for this morning. In your son Jesus' name, amen.